Hello and welcome to another episode of the For the Property Investor podcast. And we got another segment of the weekly news with, of course, Nick Bendel. Nick, you're back.
I am back. You couldn't keep me away, Owen.
Oh, and we're all the better for it.
Well, you are too kind. I'm very, very glad to be joining you and the audience.
Thank you. And what's in the news this week?
Well, now, just before we discuss the news, I think we should share what the two of us have been up to over the past week.
Oh, yes. You corrected me. Well, it might be newsworthy.
Well,
what have you been up to this week?
I'm a very boring person. Nothing I do is newsworthy. But, I mean, just to give you an overview, for those who don't know, I own a business called Hunter & Scribe, which is a copywriting agency that writes content for property and finance professionals. And the past week was a pretty standard week. And just to give you an idea of the sort of jobs we normally do, one of the jobs we did over the past week, we wrote some blog and social media content for an accountant.
Oh, great. So accountants do blog?
The smart ones do, yes.
Yes. And well, the smart ones would get your help for it.
Indeed. They are the particularly smart ones.
Very good. Very good. And this week for us, this past week, very busy with two short weeks and a month in the middle. But yes, we've got coming into April, we've got Adelaide opening this month where taking over the management of that outsourced agency that's looking to outsource their rent roll to us in northern suburbs of Sydney. And looking to be a busy month.
Well, fantastic. I'm glad to hear things moving forward with your business, and the Adelaide thing is going to be really, really exciting.
Yes, just a few little boxes to tick. And but if anyone is looking at buying in Adelaide at the moment and they're looking for a property manager, please reach out.
Well, Adelaide is doing very well right now, which leads on nicely to our first story. I'm going to have some data on that. Property prices reach new record high. Australia's median property prices now increase for 14 consecutive months, after rising another 0.6% in March, according to CoreLogic. Since falling 7.5% between April 2022 and January 2023, the national median price has climbed 10.2% and hit a new record high each month since November 2023. Now, if we focus on the annual figures over the year to March, every capital city recorded price growth. Perth grew by 19.8%, Brisbane 15.9%, Adelaide, as we mentioned, 13.3%, Sydney 9.6%, Melbourne 3.2%, Canberra 1.9%, Darwin 0.5%, and Hobart 0.3%. Some commentators, Owen, are saying that part of the reason property prices have been rising is that buyers believe interest rates have peaked. So with that in mind, I'm wondering, if interest rates fall later this year, is that actually going to boost the market, as many people have been saying? In other words, is it possible that buyers have already priced in those rate cuts?
The answer is not no, but it's I think there's other factors that are contributing to a continuing rising property price market. Yes, if we see interest rates fall later this year, as everyone's predicting, then that could fuel that some more. It will just make it easier for new people to get into the market. The upward pressure on price is more to do with a lack of supply in the market. And yeah, everything that we keep talking about, Nick, with not enough new builds, so it's not enough supply, and the lack of fluidity in the property market.
Okay, so we've been talking at a national level. I just want to drill down on a couple of cities. The first one being Perth. Perth prices rose 19.8% over the year to March. How much longer can Perth keep growing at that sort of rate?
Not too much longer. It could certainly sustain some more growth, but at a lower rate. But this last 12 months has probably been the peak of the rate of growth. And we're already starting to hear that from people. I think we mentioned it in the last couple of weeks, talking about Perth, where we're starting to get feedback from the buyer's agents that we work with that are buying in Perth that it's becoming harder and harder to not just get a property, but also quite a few buyers are starting to get priced out. So they're looking back to parts of Queensland to be able to buy now. So where Queensland peaked in terms of its growth rate, peaked a couple of years ago. Still growing quite well though, in second place there, and at 15.9%. But it's still got affordability and also the yield as well in parts of Queensland.
Well, while Perth and Brisbane and Adelaide are booming, Melbourne is quite sluggish. Melbourne prices are still below their 2022 peak and rose only 3.2% over the year to March. Why is the Melbourne market so flat, Owen?
Well, I'm actually pleased to see that it's not a negative rate. I think that is really only because there's a lack of supply in the market. But the Victorian government have brought in quite a few draconian property taxes to be able to have this effect in some way. So there's a hesitancy of people to get into the market. And also there's quite a few people that are looking to get out of the Melbourne market. Now, this being said, there's always opportunity in a negative. So what we might say look at here is that is the Melbourne market prime for growth now? Because we're looking at Brisbane property prices overtaking Melbourne in terms of their median house prices, and that just doesn't feel right. Even though Brisbane's grown quite dramatically in the last few years, Melbourne's still the second biggest city in the country, and it's still growing from a population point of view, and quite fast. So we would expect property prices to take off in Melbourne. So there might be some opportunity there.
Okay, well, let's change tack for our second news story. Brokers set new market share record. Mortgage brokers originated 71.8% of all new home loans in the December quarter, according to research by Comparator that was commissioned by the MFAA. That 71.8% figure is a new record. The previous peak was 71.7% in September 2022. While the figures bounce around from quarter to quarter, the long-term trend is clear. Home loan customers are increasingly choosing brokers over banks. Oh, and I know you're going to like this story because you used to be a broker, so
Yes.
you have really good insights into this. Why do mortgage brokers keep increasing their market share?
Well, it was I got out of the mortgage broking business in 2016, and at that point, we were cheering because we were breaking into the 40% market share at that point. So to see these figures now is absolutely amazing, and it's so good. It's Now, why is it happening and why does it keep on growing in terms of market share? Well, it's brokers, for one, provide choice. They provide choice to the consumer and to the borrower. And because on average, each broker has about 25 different lenders to choose from. And a lot of brokers do have their favorite lenders that they might use. So if you're talking to a broker and you get a major bank, put in front of you as maybe the only option, question why, because they have a lot of other choice. So get them to prove why that one bank that might be a major bank is their only choice that they're putting forward. But besides that choice, they have a legal responsibility to do that as a result of regulation. They have a legal responsibility to put in front of the potential borrower what's best for them.
And banks don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, you stole my next point, Nick. You walk into ABC Bank, and they're only going to tell you what's good for you amongst their own products, and they don't have a legal responsibility to do anything right by you except for sell the thing that makes them the most money. Now, of course, competition will drive them towards giving you the best rates and so on to be able to get the business, but they legally don't have to. And so you need to walk across the bank, walk across the road to the XYZ bank to ask them what their best rate is and do the comparison yourself. So why wouldn't you use a broker when the broker gets paid by the bank? There's no cost to you. Some really good brokers are charging upfront fees, which I think is not a bad thing. It means that they must be a really good broker. And so always ask them how that works if you get offered to pay a fee or asked to pay a fee to a mortgage broker. But there's no disadvantage to using a broker, whereas there's always a disadvantage by going direct with the bank.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because both of us, of course, love mortgage brokers. So we are biased, I suppose. But I cannot for the life of me understand why in 2024 there are still people choosing banks over brokers. Do you know why anyone does that?
A lot of it might be, they've been referred directly to a business banker or a banker, and by someone who, there are good employees of banks who do the right thing, and they're not all bad. Just like all real estate agents aren't bad either, apparently. I'm sure there are banks that do offer good products directly to their customers. That being said, some people like doing their own research. Some people enjoy that process. I would be one of those people that enjoy the process, but to save time, I would probably still go through a mortgage broker. And some people have had bad experiences with mortgage brokers. Mortgage brokers are human as well. And at the end of the day, we're all dealing with human beings and we don't always get along all of the time. There would be many reasons why, but to have over two thirds of the market in terms of new business being brought to lenders, it's absolutely amazing what the mortgage broking industry has done. So I can't speak highly for them. And if you've had a bad experience with a broker, shop around, go find someone that you like. Because yes, there's no reason why you won't have a positive experience with a broker versus going directly to a bank. And it'll save you time.
Just to round this out, Owen, I'm going to ask you to do a bit of forecasting. Broker market share is now at 71.8%. How high do you think it will go?
Yeah, it's. I was just thinking that, and as I was talking, it's to have over 2/3, is pretty amazing. It's 10 years ago, and 20 years ago when I first came into the market, it was over 22 years ago when I first came into the mortgage broker market, and. Could never ever have imagined having anywhere near that. So how far can it go? I think it could top out at like 80%. It's to get more than that, then you're seriously taking you're almost monopolizing new business to the banks. If it's not already been done. And but some of the biggest banks, and could we say the biggest bank in the country, is definitely trying to fight this trend.
The biggest bank in the country, is that ABC Bank or XYZ Bank?
Oh, it's one of them. It's like Yes, they definitely don't like being at the whim of the broker market, and they do everything possible to try and hinder more market share to the brokers. Yes, support a broker, and they'll always do right by you. And if you feel like they haven't, then go find a different one. It's you're always better off with a broker than going direct.
Agreed. We are definitely big fans of brokers on this podcast. Let's move on to our final story today, Owen. Building approvals keep declining. A total of 12,520 home building approvals were issued in February, which was 1.9% lower than the previous month and 5.8% lower than the previous year, according to the latest data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics. In March 2021, a record 23,134 approvals were issued. Since then, approvals have been steadily declining and are now at half that level. Master Builders Australia CEO Danita Wan said one reason developers are building fewer homes is because the numbers don't add up. To quote her, "We must ensure that sufficient support is provided to encourage investment in housing development. This includes steering clear of changes that would dampen the investment environment. Currently, the biggest handbrake on delivery of homes is the high costs associated with labour shortages." Owen, looking at building approvals numbers, it looks like our housing shortage is going to get worse before it gets better. That would mean prices and rents keep increasing. If affordability does indeed keep getting worse, do you think that would trigger some kind of political backlash?
Good question. I think it would have to at some point. And this is why it's dumbfounding that anyone on either side of politics has done anything meaningful to try and fix the problem. It's they come out with these big statements saying they're going to build X number of houses in the next 5 years. It's just like, well, rather than coming out with these motherhood statements, how about come out with a statement about how they're going to do that? It's because there's a lot of problems that need to be fixed. Comes on from what we were talking earlier. It's about housing prices. It's until we see this problem fixed, housing prices are going to keep on going. I guess the federal government would say that one long-term thing that they're doing to try and fix the issue, especially of labour shortages, is with the high levels of immigration that we've seen in the last year or two, and especially of trades. Now, that's great. It's in the long term, it's going to be fixing the labour shortage. And if labour costs do come down as a result, then yes, that'll help the cost of building. But the short-term issue is that we've now got a bigger population that we need to house. So in the short term, prices are going to keep going up because of that demand.
Well, you've talked about labour shortages, immigration, population. Master Builders Australia says the residential construction industry needs to find another 500,000 workers in the next 3 years to build all the homes that need to be built. Where would all those workers come from?
Sorry for skipping ahead there, Nick, but immigration is the easiest way. But long term, we need to fix the issues that have caused this as well, which is the encouragement for all young people, school leavers, to go to university to get a degree that they're never going to use, and to rack up debt that the federal government is providing them to be able to get this degree that they're never going to use. So instead of promoting all these young people to go to university, how about promoting them to do a trade? That's why we're in the situation these days where builders and plumbers and electricians can make more than lawyers and engineers. It's crazy. So we don't need all of those marketing degrees. Ancient history degrees. Unless you're going to be a teacher of ancient history, then you'll need it. But if you're just going to uni for the sake of it, because that's what you were told you're supposed to do, then maybe go get a trade.
So you're saying we need more builders, plumbers, carpenters, fewer marketers, lawyers, and historians.
Oh, you always need less lawyers. not to diss all my lawyer friends. It's been a problem that's been coming for a couple of decades now. In their great wisdom in the 80s, the federal Labor government brought in HECS, which is a great system for people to be able to get a tertiary education at low cost, and to be able to pay it off once they start working. But in the meantime, a lot of people went and got a degree because they were told that's what they should do, and they just went and did anything for the sake of it. So, and in the meantime, taxpayers still paying for that until it does get paid off when they start working. But invariably, if we did a bit of a review, did a questionnaire of people 5 years after they finished their degree, whether they're working in the field that they actually studied, yes, I'm sure it'd be very few, unless they studied law or medicine or maybe engineering, or teaching, nursing, all those professions that we absolutely need, and that you absolutely do need to go to university for. But there's a lot of courses that you think, oh, really? What are you going to do with that?
I'm wondering, Owen, we have the federal budget that's just 5 weeks away, and Master Builders Australia reckons the government should use the budget to address the skill shortage we've been discussing. What are your thoughts? Should the government intervene in some way, or should the government just let the market solve the problem?
No, I think there is a, I think the answer is both. I don't think it's, you know, or, it's always and. You know, I'm not against government intervention, but as long as it's not, as long as it's done in a way that helps the marketplace move forward without any handcuffs, and without without any anyone being disadvantaged as a result. So yes, there's probably several ways that the government could do to help do things to address the skill shortage. I mean, the low hanging fruit is immigration, which it seems like, you know, has they've already been on that case. But yeah, long term, we need more trades. I mean, we need more apprentices, for these trades. So. They have to come from school leavers. So, yes, do what they did back in the 80s. Get out there and say, get a trade. It's good for you for the rest of your life.
And with the immigration program, so if I've understood correctly, you're thinking immigration should be targeted at tradies rather than your favourite people, marketers, lawyers and historians.
Yeah, well, it's from my understanding of immigration policy, they always do try and target professions that are in short supply. And yeah, we're short on nursing, I believe, as well as you know, trades for the building industry. So it's there's that immigration policy, but yeah, there's ways we could maybe. Tweak the HEC system to for it to be more focused on the professions that we need rather than the professions that we don't need.
Well, you know, Owen, those who fail to learn the lessons of history are doomed to repeat them. So maybe we actually do need more historians. Maybe also that's a good note for us to end today's chat.
Yes, very, very true. Historians are very good for that reason. But if you don't end up using it to be able to teach it, then I think that would be a waste.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Nick. We'll see you next week for the weekly news.
Goodbye.